it must be Monday at 5 o'clock in Cleveland, Ohio, because of the issues of people in the community. We are on the air again this first Monday of July, July 6th. I'm your host, Pastor Aaron Phillips, pastor of the Sure House Baptist Church, which is located physically on 11318 Miles Avenue here in Cleveland, Ohio. And we have worship service every Sunday at 9 a.m. We also can catch us live on Facebook Live every Sunday at 9 a.m. Or you can also go to the SureHouseBaptistChurch.org website and catch our previous worship services there. And I also have the privilege to serve as the Executive Director of the Cleveland Clergy Coalition, which is an amalgamation of all of the clergy groups here in Northeast Ohio. And we're so privileged to come to you today. And I have my co-host, Dr. Gwendolyn Jarvis, is here on the line with us. Dr. Jarvis, are you there?
Yes, I am. Bright and shiny, being quarantined right. And looking forward to this evening, this conversation.
Yes, absolutely. And thank you. It's always good to have you among us. And you can call us today at 216-578-1490, 216-578-1490. If you drive out of the area, you can also catch us on NewsTalkCleveland.com, NewsTalkCleveland.com. Well, we're blessed to start a whole nother month. We're 6 months out of the 2020. I'll tell you, Dr. Jarvis, this year is going by so rapidly fast, and we really appreciate what the Lord is doing through us and with us in spite of this pandemic and both pandemics. The new pandemic of COVID-19 and the old pandemic of racism has been around a long time, and those two have met head to head this year in 2020, and hopefully we will see some change coming. One of the things I want us to talk about today as we prepare for our broadcast today, very concerned about people knowing to get out to vote and making sure that you get your early ballot application. You can get that information now. You don't have to wait until October or even September. You can send your application now if you want to vote by mail. If you know you want to do that, we advise you, please get your application to vote by mail immediately. You can call down to the Board of Election, and their number is 443-VOTE, 216-443-VOTE. That's 44216-443-8683. There you go. That's it. That's four. That's to make sure you can apply to get your vote by mail application. I know some people are waiting for the for a particular event to take place or for the Secretary of State to send you something. We can't afford to wait on anybody. We must be the change that we are looking for. So it's good to make sure that we're out there protesting. You know, we went out to protest, Dr. Jarvis, in a couple of times now, but we want to make sure that the best protest, the best way to make our voices heard, is to get out to vote and get your application to vote by mail. Now, this is the time, if you're not registered, if you're not a registered voter in the state of Ohio, you can't vote unless you register. So you have to make sure you register. If you need a application to register, we will bring you one. We'll get one to you. You can call us at the Coalition at 216-889-7844. 216-889-7844. We will get voter application or registration to you immediately, because there is a deadline on that. I think we have up until, October the 2nd, Dr. Jarvis, is 30 days.
I think, 30 days. Right. But I got something better. I got something better than that, too. Everybody have their phone. Everybody's got a phone. Everybody's phone take pictures. And I have a scan where they can just scan it right from the Cleveland Clergy Coalition website, from my Facebook pages, and you can just scan it. It's your request for application, for voter's application. I'll give it to you.
When you say scan, what does that mean, Dr. Jarvis? Help us.
I have a scan code, And the only thing you do is you just take a picture of that scan code and you can request it. That is that simple. They don't have to make no phone calls because everybody got pictures, take pictures with their phone. So keep it very simple.
And where do you send the scan? It goes to the Board of Election automatically.
Yep, it sure does.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
We want to make this as easy and simple as possible. It would be a shame. I was watching a news broadcast today, Dr. Jarvis, and they said that 80% of young people, I think 40 and under, are saying they can make a change and a difference in our country. However, 50% of them didn't know how to get to register to vote. We got to make sure people understand the process. Just because we have protested in the streets doesn't mean we have changed. Real change comes when we get together and vote. We got to get out to vote and make our voices be heard. That is the main time that everyone is on equal footing. You may not be equal in having your the same kind of pay, same kind of job, living in the same kind of neighborhood, but all of our voices are the same when it comes to us voting. And we want to make sure we are telling everyone, make sure you get registered to vote. And if you need to vote by mail, I'm suggesting even this year, Dr. Jarvis, I usually do not vote by mail. I like the awesomeness of getting in the voting line and being there on election day, the whole excitement of that. I always voted on election day. This was the first year in the primary when I voted. Actually, it was early voting at the Board of Election because we were there for Sunday voting. We were acknowledging that, so we came up getting out to vote on Sunday, sold to the polls. So I decided to vote that day. And I'm so glad I did because it's much easier to vote early and you don't have to worry. And there was no in-person voting by in the primary. And that's what's important to really recognize. We are going to have in-person voting, is my understanding, Dr. Jarvis, and we're going to really vote by also be voting by mail. We want to encourage our listeners to make sure you get your application early and vote by mail. And what we've got to, there's a two-step process in the state of Ohio. You have to request your mail-in ballot, and then they'll send it to you. Unlike the primary, everyone will get the same ballot. In the primary elections, you had a Republican ballot and a Democratic ballot, which made it very confusing. We'll say, and we know, remember that, Dr. Jarvis, we had people who applied for their absentee ballot, and they applied for, they applied for a Republican ballot and got a Democratic ballot, or they were a Democrat and they applied for a Democratic ballot and got a Republican ballot. But this time around, the general election, there's only going to be one ballot. So that makes it very simple for us. It's not a Democratic ballot. It's not a Republican ballot. It's one single ballot with everyone who's up for election in this year, from the president all the way down to our local officials, local judges. And this is a time for we want to make sure that we are getting out to vote and making sure we are voting for the what's in the best interest of our community. Dr. Jarvis, you want to add that?
Yes, I'd like to add something to that, especially since there seems to going to be some, like a little, to me, I call it a controversy. Couldn't understand why this person is doing it. Well, I kind of want to understand, I know, but I don't want to accept it, that we make sure we vote for the quality person who would make good representation of the people so that we can get things done. I don't want to be, blasting out nobody on the radio or anything, but please make sure you register to vote and vote properly as what is going to affect us and the future of our children, our future leaders.
Well said. And not only nationally, and I think that sometimes what gets lost is that we want to just vote for the president, but we need to vote all the way down the ballot to appellate court judges, to common pleas court judges, to various folks who may be on the ballot as well, from county council people. We need to make sure we are getting out we got our state representatives that we should be making sure we're supporting. Remember last week we had State Representative Stephanie House on the broadcast. She's up for re-election one final time. And, you know, we thank God for her leadership. She's the president of the Ohio Congressional Black Caucus. So we want to make sure that we are voting for the people who are fighting for our best interests. And we really appreciate that. Stephanie House coming on last week, talking about all the things that they're doing there in Columbus. And we're looking forward to hearing from other our state senators and others who are up for election as well. But we want to get out the vote. We can't stress that enough. We can't do traditional campaigning. You know, normally we would be having rallies and voter education forums, and we would be taking people around to our various churches across the county. We can't do any of that because of the COVID-19 crisis. So we got to make sure we are not only educating, but then mobilizing. Got to educate and then mobilize, and then we have to make sure we get the vote out to the people, making sure people are voting, and on a regular basis. So, but it's a whole process that we have to do to make sure that we are letting our voices be heard. Just like the census, this is the same year we're asking people to fill out the census. As you're doing that, we can't stop with just filling out the census. We got to make sure that we are registering people to vote. And I'm going to challenge folks to out there. If you have family members, I think all of us, Dr. Jarvis, if we could commit, I'm going to commit to finding 10 people to make sure they get newly registered to vote and follow up with those 10. And I think many of us can do that, we go a long way. I mean, we need to really organize, take those names down and keep them in a database, and then making sure we're sending information to our new voters. So I'm going to ask you, those who are listening to us all across the world, as we say to folks, we have millions and millions of listeners. We need you to, if everyone would commit, it doesn't even matter if you're listening from here in Cleveland, or if you're in Arizona, or if you're in Philadelphia, you're in Las Vegas, you're in Colorado. We know we have listeners in all those places. I want to challenge you, find 10 people that you know are not registered to vote, and make sure you register 10 people. Now, let me be clear, there's no compensation. There's no nothing. We can't even take you to dinner or lunch or anything, like bring you a bag of water. Can't do any of that because of COVID-19. So we're just going to have to be committed to our democracy, be committed to our society, be committed to our community, that we are going to get people out to register. I'm always so surprised about the lack of voter participation in America. It's stunning. When you talk about, we have 20% of the people who came out who are registered to vote. And that's how they could calculate. 20% of registered voters. So, you know, everyone's not even registered. So 20% of the people are making decisions that impact all of our lives. And make no mistake about it, if you don't vote, does not mean that you're not going to that your life's not going to be impacted by the way of what happens to us in this community, in our society today, in our government. Government is still going to keep going on, keep rolling on, and keep doing on. And we got to make sure we are registering people to vote. I hear the music. That was so fast, Dr. Jarvis.
We're excited
to hear from a couple of our guests today are calling in to talk about some exciting things that's happening around here in Cleveland, and one who wrote a book. We're going to get back to you right after this break. This is the Issues of People in the Community. Dr. Jarvis, get us out of here.
Thanks for tuning in to the Cleveland Clergy Coalition, where the host is Pastor Aaron Phillips, who is the senior pastor of Sure House Baptist Church and the executive director of the Cleveland Clergy Coalition, which brings together all the pastors of color who are seeking to make a change in the community. And you're welcome to call us at area code 216-578-1490 with your questions, concerns, and your comments as we move through this journey of COVID-19. And we'll be back in a minute. The devil stealing from me. I promise he won't get one more.
Wash your hands, avoid sick people, and touching your face. These are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. Brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and News Talk 1490.
Across America, middle and high school students are making a difference in their communities. The Prudential Spirit of Community Awards honors them for their volunteer service.
If you would like to learn more, visit spirit.prudential.com.
Tea and Honey with Dr. Gwen Jarvis. I was born, raised, and educated locally, weekly to bring tea leaves of my own experience, talents, and training as bold and boundless as a butterfly to enlighten, inspire, and uplift our community and beyond. With stems on education, health, community, civic, spiritual, and the joys of life. Thursdays, 5 p.m., WERE, 1490 a.m. Join me for tea.
This is how we do every day. We be grinding, and if you want to come and text us.
If you love them enough to turn off your music and pretend like their music is your music.
Ah, this is mommy's jam.
Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're in the right car seat.
Let's play it again.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
I've been a disruptor all my life, and I started this podcast to challenge conventional thinking and stereotypes around the Black community and Black men. Not all Black men are rappers, not all Black men are athletes, and most Black men are not thugs. If you believe we can change the narrative, if you believe we can change our communities, if you believe we can change the outcomes, then we can change the world. I'm Rob Richardson. Welcome to Disruption Now.
You can find Disruption Now anywhere you listen to podcasts or by going to disruptionnow.com.
Sometimes we forget that the funeral is for the living. It is the last visible viewing and celebration. But for those of us in the industry, it is a time for our experience and excellence to shine. At R.A. Prince Funeral Services, our expertise in different cultures, economics, and family blend makes us stand out in helping to meet the trust and faith you have placed in our hands. We know it is paramount for us to ease the burden and release the pressure of this time of need. Let R.A. Prince Funeral Services meet with you and take the worry out. Call us at 216-518-1777. That is 216-518-1777. R.A. Prince Funeral Services, for such a time as this.
Okay, we're back. The issues of people in the community. I'm your host, Pastor Aaron Phillips. I'm joined today with my co-host, Dr. Gwendolyn Jarvis. Dr. Jarvis, you there?
Yes, I am. Yes,
Dr.
I
Jarvis,
am.
It was great to have you and your grandchildren in church yesterday.
And they enjoyed it, too. My granddaughter said she really enjoyed it. She said she want to come back. So on her next visit, that's where she'll be coming. I told her that's where she'll
All
be
right.
coming anyway. Yes.
Well, that's
yes.
perfect. We had our first really comeback service, and I think we had about we had 25% capacity, and that's what we met yesterday, and we practiced good social distancing. I've got to work on Dr. Jarvis getting our choir members socially distanced, making sure we're covered there.
Yes.
Dr. Jarvis, we are joined today by one of our leading pastors, partners in the Cleveland Clergy Coalition's work here in the city of Cleveland, Cuyahoga County, and that's my dear friend and buddy, Reverend Dr. Bishop Tony Miner. Are you there, Bishop?
Yes, I am. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, Bishop. How's everything going with you today?
Well, it's good. Hot day in Cleveland, you know, after a very violent weekend, trying to sort through some of that. But all is well.
Well, thank you. Well, I want to talk about your book, but I want to really just let everyone know how important you are and as a staple in our community. And I don't know about you, Bishop Miner, but I'm very concerned about making sure people are getting registered to vote this year, and we're getting out to vote and asking people getting out there voted by mail application. Have you been talking to folks about that?
Yes, certainly we have, and it's so very important this year. You know, we always talk about vote the full ballot, but this year it's particularly important to vote that top of the ballot. And there's a lot of people, you know, they're complaining, they're confused, but what's most important is for you to go and vote your conscience and what you know is right for our community. And we are going to particularly, and I was going to call you today, we are particularly concerned about those voters between the age of 18 to 25. And the data says that in the last primary, only 10% of those registered in that age group even went to vote, you know. So that's a very important group of people. And they, you know, this is their future. This is about their future.
Absolutely. Well, I was just sharing the year before you got on, Bishop Minor, that I watched the news broadcast today that said 80% of those 40 and under saying they know that they are able to change the world because they're 40 or younger. But at the same time, that same category, 50% of them didn't know how to register to vote. So we got to make sure we are educating our folks, especially our young people, on how to register to vote, how to apply for a vote by mail application, and to make sure we're getting out to vote this year. Bishop, I just challenged everyone. I'm going to commit to finding 10 people who are not registered and register 10 people to vote and keep up with those 10 folks and follow up to make sure they get out to vote, get their application. Can you join me with that, Bishop?
Yeah, I'm gonna definitely join you in that, and also add to that it is important to get them to vote early, because that's the sure way. When you're tracking and monitoring them, and you've talked about that every year, when you vote early and you track and monitor, then you know that they have requested a ballot, they've received the ballot, and they've mailed it back in. This should be done long before Election Day. So yes, I'm in.
Right.
Count me in.
Well, thank you, Bishop. I appreciate that. Well, Bishop, I was so excited, and I've got to send this over to Dr. Jarvis. I was so excited when I got over my phone a couple of days ago that you wrote a book. And I will just tell you, that is so exciting. Many people talk about writing a book, what they should be doing, and there's a, you know, be prophesied there's a book in you. I've heard that so many times, but I just never had the discipline to sit down to write. But I am so excited that you have wrote a book that has been published, and it's on Amazon. And the name of the book is What is Behind the Curtain by Bishop Tony Minor. And it deals with the conflict that we have in churches, but really can spill out into the community. Tell us, Bishop, what inspired you to write this book?
Well, you know, I just, you know, I was over the years, you know, I've had people go in and out my church, right? And so
right.
To adjust it, you know, I tried to improve my preaching and improve my teaching and to try to be a better pastor, a nicer pastor, and I would work harder, and it was all focused on me. Then I began to run into people that were at my church, and I would say, or who were former members of my church, and I would say, why did you leave? Did I do something? You know, I tried to own it. And they said, no, it didn't have anything to do with you. It didn't have nothing to do with you. And it was stuff that went on in the parking lot, stuff that went on in the bathroom. And so there's so much conflict that's behind the curtain that people don't see. And Sunday morning can be like a stage and a performance. And this isn't a negative, because it is. It is. We work hard to really provide a wonderful experience, but sometimes what's
right
behind that stage can really run people away, and you and I as pastors, we never see it.
That's a good point. Yes, that's a very good point. I
yes.
see that.
I totally agree with this. Is Wayne Jarvis. I totally agree with that, because in business, the reason why businesses fall, not because the top of the line, like you would be the top of the line, but it's the front line. The front line people are the ones who are setting a bad example. For an example, yesterday my granddaughter wanted to go to a Wendy's, and we went to Wendy's down in Ohio City, and the girl's attitude was just so horrible. And I was telling her, I said, that's the reason why businesses fail, because here it is, this girl on the front line, she's the one setting a bad example. And then it affects the profits. And the same thing in church, because I know what, there's a church that I know of that I used to go to, they call it the powder puff room. And in the bathroom, these women do all this negative talking, and it wasn't about the pastor, it's all this other stuff that has nothing to do with it, that affects the ministry and every and business.
Absolutely.
Go ahead and comment about that, Bishop.
Yeah, you know, it's really the stuff, and you know, it's really, you know, what we try to address in it. You know, there are times that it's just mess, people talking mess, but then there are other times, especially for long-standing congregations that's been around for a while. What happens is that there's a hidden power system within that church. So you have the pastor who has power. In some instances, they don't really have power. Then there's a board, and sometimes you think the board is running the church, but other times there's a powerful clique. It's a group of families. It's a group of individuals, and they're behind the scenes, and you can tell, you know, you can tell who runs the show. You sit in a meeting where everyone will wait till Miss Jackson says something, and they'll look at her eyes and look at her expressions. And so what we talk about in the book is that there's a hidden family system where there are parents and then there are children. There are followers and there are those that lead. And sometimes it's not even within the normal power structure. So the normal power structure would be the church board, the deacons, or if the church has a church president, you know, where there's these people who hold offices. Sometimes it's not the people who hold offices, it's other individuals that have power, and people empower them, and in some ways, and not in some ways, in too many ways, it's based on selfish power control. And so when a new person comes with fresh ideas, with fresh energy, they come to a couple worship services, and then they join the church, and they go to their first meeting, and all of a sudden they see a different world.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. I can give you so many examples of that. I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you. I call it a bully mentality.
That's right. That's right. That's right. And very often, you know, it's a hidden system. It could be two or three individuals. It could be two or three families. And they decide who gets in. They decide who has power and who has influence. And then, you know, thank God, Pastor, you know, Bishop Jakes, as people may know, I belong to Higher Ground Assemblies, and Bishop Jakes is our vice bishop. And he says to us in our pastors' meetings, you know, look, if you got a medium-sized church, a small church, and you're having really good impact in the community, and you're being blessed of the Lord, be happy where you are. Because sometimes when you move on to a big church that has a whole lot of internal systems, or when your church grows, there are times that the system or the institution of the church, it then begins to cloud mission. And you begin to spend more time putting out fires, dealing with conflict, than really serving the Lord and doing the work that God has called you to do. And it's a very interesting dynamic. You know, I wanted to write a book. My next is, you know, I wanted to talk about the fact that bigger is not always better. We can talk about that.
Well, listen, stay on that point right there, Bishop. I want you to stay right there. We got to take our break. We're going to come back, and we'll come right to pick up right where you left off. I preached about that. Bigger is not always better. Thank you for listening to Issues to People in the Community. We're going to battle right in our own backyard, right in the church today, where we're dealing with issues. Dr. Jarvis, get us out of here.
Okay, we're here with Bishop Tony Minor, and the name of his book, if you didn't catch it, is What is Behind the Curtain? And this is an interesting conversation that we're having with them. You're welcome to call in to ask him questions, to make comments at area code 216-578-1490. Also, Alexa, just call Alexa and she'll tune you in to the Cleveland Clergy Coalition, which we're on the air every Monday from 5 o'clock to 6:30 with our host is Pastor Aaron Phillips of the Sure House Baptist Church. However, you can also listen to us. We streamed and syndicated at www.newstalkcleveland.com. Please, he invites you to call. We invite you to call in at 216-578-1490 to participate in the conversation we're having with Bishop Minor, who is the senior pastor of Community Church in Cleveland, Ohio. I think
Community,
that's the name of it. I'm sorry.
Community of Faith.
Oh, Community of Faith. All right, we'll be back in a minute.
Until you go to North Coast Auto Mall, you will not be picking me up. It's too hot in this car. The AC doesn't work.
I know, I've been meaning to get that fixed. I just roll the window down and drive as fast as I can.
Boy, your mama must have dropped you on your head. North Coast Auto Mall is a quick fix for all these problems. I know your credit is a mess. It's okay. They see credit situations worse than yours every day, and they make it work. And they got tons of vehicles. SUVs, sports cars, sedans, all for as little as 99 cents down. And trust me, each one of those vehicles has an air conditioner.
I'm saying, it will be nice to get a new whip for the summer, but what kind of payments am I looking at?
Listen to what I tell you. They have the lowest down payments, and they will work with you for the lowest monthly payment possible. Call 1-800-NEXT-CAR or head over to one of their three locations on Broadway and the Bedford Auto Mile in Akron, across from Chapel Hill Mall, or in Palmer at Pearl and Brook Park. Or pick up the phone while you're driving and call 1-800-NEXT-CAR. Take it from Uncle Earl. A new car with a cheaper car note is less than a speeding ticket just trying to stay cool.
NSS down. For example, amount of finance equals $9,000. APR rate 24.9. 48 monthly payments of $297.
Sometimes we forget that the funeral is for the living. It is the last visible viewing and celebration. But for those of us in the industry, it is a time for our experience and excellence to shine. At R.A. Prince Funeral Services, our expertise in different cultures, economics, and family blend makes us stand out in helping to meet the trust and faith you have placed in our hands. We know it is paramount for us to ease the burden and release the pressure of this time of need. Let R.A. Prince Funeral Services meet with you and take the worry out. Call us at 216-518-1777. That is 216-518-1777. R.A. Prince Funeral Services, for such a time as this.
The Ricky Smiley Morning Show, the most funny in the morning. It's the Ricky Smiley Morning Show.
Play it one more time, play it one more time, play it one more time. Right, that part, right there, that part. Go back to that part.
Why do we hurt each other?
Hey.
Why do we put love away?
Jesus, on that part right there, Jesus got in his throat.
It's the Ricky Smiley Morning Show, weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on News Talk 1490 WERE and streaming live at newstalkcleveland.com.
It's the Ricky Smiley Morning Show.
Have you thought about what you would do if you or a loved one had a health emergency? The American Heart Association wants to remind us not to hesitate to get help. Even during a pandemic, their emergency systems are ready to help. Serious symptoms like those associated with a heart attack or stroke are still considered urgent. Learn the signs and symptoms of a heart attack, stroke, or cardiac arrest. If you call 911 at the first sign, it could save a life. Visit heart.org for more information and resources to help you and your family stay safe during this time.
With Audible, you can learn something new or discover new experiences just by listening. Find something you love and find yourself transported. Your first audiobook is free at audible.com.
News Talk Cleveland, 1490 WERE Cleveland Heights, WZAK HD3 Cleveland, and streaming live at newstalkcleveland.com.
All right, we're back to Issues of People in the Community. I'm your host, Pastor Aaron Phillips. I'm the senior pastor of the Sure House Baptist Church here in Cleveland, Ohio. We're physically located at 1 1318 Miles Avenue, and I'm also the privileged to be the executive director of the Cleveland Clergy Coalition. I'm here today with my co-host, Dr. Gwendolyn Jarvis, who's also a member of Sure House. How you doing, Dr. Jarvis? Say hello to everyone again.
I'm doing fine. My temperature was taken yesterday, so I'm good.
That's right. We are practicing social distancing, taking people's temperature before you come in the church, and asking everyone to politely wear a mask. And we are so happy, always glad when I have my dear comrade in arms. We've been going to battle against the enemy in the streets of Cleveland for the last 20 years. My dear friend, Bishop Tony Miner, the senior pastor of the Community of Faith Baptist Church on Broadway. What's the physical address there, Bishop?
It's 5246 Broadway Avenue in Slavic.
5246 Broadway Avenue. Community of Faith Baptist Church. And what time do you all have service? I'm sorry, Community of Faith Church. What time do you all have service?
It's we have Sunday school at 9, and our service is at 10. Right now we're online, we're on Facebook and YouTube, and we'll be opening very soon.
Okay, fantastic. And Bishop, I'm always grateful. You know, I was thinking about this, Dr. Jarvis. I've been preaching since I was a kid, since I was a baby boy, 5 years old, I started preaching. So next year I will be preaching 50 years. And
oh, my goodness.
It's always, and I've been through many transitions as a preacher and always looking for church growth books, because I've been pastoring since I was 16 years old. And then I always was reading books and information about how to grow our church. And, you know, and there's Purpose Driven Life and Purpose Driven Church by Rick Warren. But there's not very, if Bishop Miner can attest to this, there's not very many church growth books that's written from the African-American perspective. And we have to have that, because the African-American church is quite different than other churches. And I don't care if you're talking about African-American Baptists or Church of God in Christ churches, Methodist churches. So it really is good to have an author from our community to write about what happens in our churches. And it is so, I know it's getting to be popular now. They're making a television series about the black church, Green Leaf, which talks about, is that the name of that mm-hmm. series? Is it Green Leaf?
Yeah,
I think it is.
And
which actually goes behind the curtains of a black mega church. And so I'm really excited to hear, and actually to know personally, the author of someone who's writing a black church growth and book. I really appreciate that. And let's give the name of that book again out. It is called Bishop. What is it now? The Conflict. Let me pull it
what's
up.
Behind,
again. Had it.
What's behind?
What's behind the
what's
curtain?
Behind the curtain. Right. Conflict in local churches. Yep.
Yes. Yeah, and Bishop, tell us, you were speaking about sometimes it's bigger is not better. I was just telling folks, if you watch me, I just preached that yesterday about Gideon. But tell us, what do you mean when you say bigger is not always better?
Well, you know, and it's one thing about anything that's bigger, of course, you have more people, more resources, more dollars, right? But there are times in which what comes with that is more people, more attitudes, more motives, more perspectives, and sometimes more conflict. Now, this isn't to really put down larger churches, but it's also to elevate smaller churches. And I think one of the things that clergy suffer from is a low sense of self-esteem based on the number of people that they preach to. I sit in clergy meetings with pastors who have transformative experiences with 500, 600, 700 people every week. Transformative experiences. They feed them. They help them get jobs. They counsel them. But they maybe only preach to 40, 50 people, right? And so then they are allowed to, then they fall into the trap to say they have a small church. Now, people can preach to 500 people, but that doesn't mean that they have 500 transformative experiences. Preaching on Sunday is not always transformative. Now, it might make you feel good, and it certainly entertaining, but there's no evidence that it's transformative. But if you pay somebody's rent, or if you help somebody find a job, or you do tutoring, or you got AA going on, those are transformative experiences. So bigger is not always better, and people need to not look for something that is bigger, but something that fits their personal vision, their personal mission, and their personal drive.
Well said. Bishop, I think we have a caller. Lee, we got a caller.
Okay.
Hold on, Dutch John, let's take our caller, then we'll comment on that. We got a caller.
Marcus.
Caller, you're on the air.
Yes, this is Marcus, Stevie Marcus. I just wanted to call, man. Very excellent talk, feedback on today, man, and I need a copy of that book in 24 hours.
All right. Pastor Marcus, that's Pastor Stephen Marcus of Builders of Faith Church. And, Pastor, tell everyone where your church is, Pastor Marcus.
3125 East 93rd, 3125 East 93rd. And I do need a copy of that book. Matter of fact, two copies in 24 hours. I can't get it from Amazon that quick, but the question for Bishop, can I get two of those books in 24 hours?
Okay, right now the best way, because of COVID, the best way is to get a ebook, an electronic version. And if you go to Amazon, you can download it. You'll have it in 5 minutes.
Okay. And the cost is the same as the book? It's just e-loading it?
Well, it's actually the cost is the ebook version, electronic version, is only $4.99. And you can have it right on your PC, on your phone, on all of it. Yep. And certainly, let's stay in touch. I'll get your number, because once things improve, I would like to come and do a workshop. And I'll do a workshop for you to help you really, so we can. I want to grow together. This is an opportunity for us to help each other deal with these internal issues that really impact us. And also, I'm going to tell you something else too. Conflict impacts clergy health. We spend so much time worrying about people and dealing with mess and stress, and that's why so many clergy individuals are having strokes, heart attacks, and they're dying at young age.
That's very true. That's well said.
I believe that.
And Pastor Marcus, I just text you how you can get the book. You can just check your phone. And thank you for calling. You're a great pastor and great friend, and thank you for being a part of the Cleveland Clergy Coalition. That's Pastor Stephen Marcus, Builders of Faith Church.
Thank you, my brother. Listen, thank you. Continue to keep up the good work. And your co-host.
Thank you, sir. Now, Bishop, I introduced my sermon yesterday. I told folks, because we live in America, basically, we have an American version of what the church and the American viewpoint glance of what the church ought to be and look like. So in America, bigger is always better. More is always what you're looking for. And I'm a trained preacher. Not only did I go to law school, I went to seminary. So I have a degree to become a pastor that makes me really extra qualified. So, you know, I always was looking for a church for at least 1,000 people. I could have retirement and have a 501K, all of those kind of things, have my own car and my own housing allowance and that kind of thing, because that's the way I grew up. My grandfather was the pastor, my father the preacher and a pastor, my brother's a pastor. I just grew up in that kind of way, and none of those things happened for me. And I always was applying for larger churches and sending my resume. I'd always get to be down to two candidates, me and the other person, and I couldn't win a vote to save my life. I would always get down to the last two. They always went with the other person. And so we started our church at Sure House Baptist Church. This was 16 years ago, and I challenged the Lord because we started in the basement of my house. And I will tell you, the Lord has blessed us. I want to pick that up because I wanted people to know it's not about the size, but it's about what's in your heart and what God has purposed for you to do. Bishop, can you stay one more segment before we get off?
Yes, absolutely.
I need to stay one more. I really have you stay one more segment. There's an issue with the people in the community. I'm your host, Pastor Aaron Phillips. We're going to get right back to this. It's very important stuff today, and we appreciate it. Give us a call, 216-578-1490. I think we're off there. Never before, we're waging war.
NewsTalkCleveland.com.
This is Al Jones, boxing enthusiast. Tune in to In the Ring with Al Jones, Tuesdays from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern on 1490 WERE. We will be bringing you the best in boxing with up-and-coming amateurs, hot prospects, current champions, and the legends of the game. Don't forget, 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern, In the Ring with Al Jones.
The COVID-19 virus has shut down businesses across the country. We're here to help with the Urban One Assist Celebrating Small Businesses program. Our network of television, local and national radio, and digital platforms is reaching out to a select number of eligible small businesses and advertising their products, goods, and services. Discover what we can do for you. Visit urbanone.com/assist. That's urban1.com/assist. Urban One, representing Black America.
Sometimes we forget that the funeral is for the living. It is the last visible viewing and celebration. But for those of us in the industry, it is a time for our experience and excellence to shine. At R.A. Prince Funeral Services, our expertise in different cultures, economics, and family blend makes us stand out in helping to meet the trust and faith you have placed in our hands. We know it is paramount for us to ease the burden and release the pressure of this time of need. Let R.A. Prince Funeral Services meet with you and take the worry out. Call us at 216-518-1777. That is 216-518-1777. R.A. Prince Funeral Services, for such a time as this.
1490 WERE Traffic.
Good evening. This traffic update sponsored by Mattress Firm. As we take our final check of the roads for your commute, if you're headed westbound 480, there's reports of an accident blocking the left lane near 237, giving you about an 8 to 10 minute delay with heavy stop and go traffic coming from Brook Park Road. And if you're on Carnegie Ave, there's another accident causing delays near East 55th Street. Finally, if you're going Inner Belt southbound, the traffic starts to slow down as you're approaching Dead Man's Curve up till Superior Ave. During the Mattress Firm 4th of July sale, get a king bed for a queen price, a queen for a twin price, and a free adjustable base with the purchase of $699. I'm Lorenzo Ware on Cleveland's News Talk 1490 WEREAM, the People Station.
All right, we're back with the issues of people in the community. I'm your host, Pastor Aaron Phillips, and I want to get right back to this subject, Dr. Darvis and Bishop, because I don't want people to think that we are against small or big churches. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about making sure that we have, we are following our purpose and what God has called us to. And I would tell you, as I was sharing with you all my testimony, I wouldn't trade anything for the world now, 16 years later, into being with Sure House Baptist Church. Wouldn't trade that experience for any other one. I really thank God that he called me to this particular church. And I have a dear friend of mine who says one of the greatest preachers, Manuel Scott, was one of the greatest preachers in America. And he told him, and I have to know Dr. Scott, he told him, you know, small churches need great preachers too. And so many times we get caught up in really preachers. We put ourselves sometimes in the trick bag because we're using the wrong measurement sticks to determine whether our church is healthy. Well, you know, we're talking to our friends, how was service, doc? And we talk about how many people came, or now we talk about how many views we had on Facebook and how much money we raised. Those are really, those are good indicators, but those are not the only indicators of a healthy church. And I just wanted to say that to you, Bishop. And I really appreciate how you have approached this this topic, because this topic is true, how to deal with conflict, whether you have a 1,700-member congregation or you have a 17-member congregation. The principles that you're espousing are works for both. Isn't that right? Oh, Bishop, did I lose you? Okay. Bishop, why don't you,
yes, can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's better. There we go. Yeah, go ahead, Bishop.
Yeah. I want people to understand, you know, that the vast majority of churches out there are very healthy churches that are strong. If they could be small or big, they are very inviting, welcoming, and they got a strong system. And we encourage people to, you know, trust these churches, get involved. You know, what we have to understand that the church, like any other entity in our society, is comprised of people. And so it could be your lodge, it could be the PTA, it could be the war club. There's always going to be conflict in people. So, we're not necessarily saying that the church is bad or this or that. We're certainly not putting the church down. However, we do know that we have to feed the church to make sure that it stays healthy, because there are some unhealthy churches, there's some unhealthy auxiliaries, there's unhealthy parts of the church. And so it's important for us to make sure that we are vision-centered, mission-centered. And see, what's important with this dynamic, and I'll make bold to say, is that, and I don't know if it's God, I wouldn't put it on God, but the world is changing around us, right? And churches that have been focused on Sunday morning worship only, they were lost. They've been lost in the last 3 months. But churches who are more communal, that's Afrocentric, that's African-centric, where the church is communal. Right. The European church was the edifice, right? And so we build the edifice. Right. And people come to the edifice, right? Well, the world is changing among us. It's changing among us. And also, the people are demanding, Pastor, I'm going to speak prophetically in your life. You are where you are because the community needed you in the community. And the church must respond to the needs of the community. We not only need to preach to them and make them feel good on Sunday morning, and that's not all we do. But people want their personal lives improved. They want to see the relevancy of the church. And when a church is stuck on conflict and not stuck on the program, the ministry, the vision, then it's not effective. And so this is, and I hope that my book sort of breeds effective churches. And one of the keys is having a strong sense of vision. It's having a spiritual job description. So it's not based on academic talent and their abilities from an organizational perspective, which is important. But then do they have the spiritual character makeup? Because I can take three people that are very untalented, and if we work together, we can accomplish a lot. And sometimes you got rich and talented people, and it's just a whole lot of conflict, and you don't go anywhere, and people leave. They leave. They don't want that. They'll stay home. They can get fed at home. Unfortunately, more people are being fed at home in this era than they are in a building, and we need to turn that around by making sure that we have a healthy church.
That's right. Well, I will tell you, and then I'll have you comment, Dr. Jarvis. One of the things that I have experienced as a pastor of a smaller congregation, sometimes it's harder. I have more conflict in a smaller congregation than in a larger one, because in a small church, you know, people know who has the power, who has the influence, and where that's. So it's really harder to break in. I would tell you, when we first started, Bishop, we were trying to merge because with a couple other smaller churches who did not have a pastor, and we wanted to just merge and bring all those churches together under one roof. And we had a difficult time. We never could do it. had a difficult time merging because we were a smaller church. So sometimes you can have more conflict in a small church. What would you? I want you to respond to that, Bishop.
Yeah. See, and that's why it's not really contingent upon the size of the church. It's more contingent right. upon the health of the church. And you're right. Smaller churches, mid-sized churches, big churches, any entity in our society. This book and what I write about can be just as effective for a PTA, a club, whatever it might right. be, because there's still that dynamic. You see, it all comes down to power, right? I did my right. doctoral work on church mergers, and that was going to be my first book, and it's still out there floating around. But I did my doctorate on church mergers, right? And the finding of that is that why church mergers fail in some instances is because of the power dynamic. How do you merge where people still feel secure? And they would rather go back to their little small broken environment as long as they're holding on to their little power. And so when you merge, it takes strong vision plus a honest conversation and a strong sense of prayer and covenant to break the spirit of power. And that's the challenge in those mergers.
Yes, well said. Dr. Jarvis?
I agree. No, I totally agree with what you have to say. I totally agree with that. That's I can't add anything to that. I just
it's so true.
It's so real.
And the thing, what's true about that, Bishop and Dr. Jarvis, is that principle. What you're talking about is not just something for the church. I'm really glad that you said that. It really is something that's resonating when I'm sitting there thinking about it. It's resonating in the Black community right now. Period. And particularly here in Cleveland, Ohio. We have a lot of we need as African American community come together and help solve these major problems. But many times, what happens? We have people who have particular power and want to keep their power and don't want to come together and us work, because we're much better united than we are divided. And that is so true, even in the conflict that we're seeing in our own right here in our own community. And which is something I really want to talk about, Bishop, because we noticed a lot of violence this weekend in the Black community, where we're talking about Black Lives Matter. We got to make sure that we're saying, we said this last week, we are definitely concerned about the white police shooting us, but we need to also be equally, if not even more, concerned about how we're shooting each other. And there is conflict right there that needs to be solved right in our own community. Don't you agree, Bishop?
Absolutely, 100%. And, you know, we do know that, you know, when the white officer shoots a Black person, he generally gets a slap on his wrist and the African-American goes to prison. But we still have
Absolutely.
To address it. We got to address it. And it's not an either or, it's a both and. And there are some things that we're going to be doing this week to get back out in the community, help people with jobs, drug treatment. We gotta address this issue, because it's tearing us apart.
Tearing us apart, that's right. Bishop, thank you so much for being with us today. You ought to get his book, and we appreciate what's behind the curtains. Check it out on Amazon. Yes. We're going to put it up on the Clergy Coalition Facebook page as well as our website. Thank you, Bishop Tony Miner, for being with us today. Dr. Jarvis, get us out of here.
Yes, we have to thank Dr. Tony Miner for being here. He is the senior pastor of Community of Faith Assembly, and he has a book entitled "What's Behind the Closet Door." What's behind the closet door? And this is not only for pastors, but it's for the leadership in the church to bring us together.
The proceeding was a paid program brought to you by Cleveland Clergy Coalition. The views and opinions. News Talk Cleveland, 1490 WERE Cleveland Heights, WZAK HD3 Cleveland, and streaming live at newstalkcleveland.com.
Sometimes we forget that the funeral is for the living. It is the last visible viewing and celebration. But for those of us in the industry, it is a time for our experience and excellence to shine. At R.A. Prince Funeral Services, our expertise in different cultures, economics, and family blend makes us stand out in helping to meet the trust and faith you have placed in our hands. We know it is paramount for us to ease the burden and release the pressure of this time of need. Let R.A. Prince Funeral Services meet with you and take the worry out. Call us at 216-518-1777. That is 216-518-1777. R.A. Prince Funeral Services, for such a time as this.
News Talk 1490 WERE, Cleveland Heights, WZAK HD3, Cleveland. This is a paid program brought to you by Cleveland Clergy Coalition. The views and opinions expressed are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station or its management.
All right. We're back at the issues of people in her community. I'm your host, Pastor Aaron Phillips, and we're just glad to be here. Thank God for Bishop Tony Mindless. I want to be clear. The name of his book is What is Behind the Curtain? What is Behind the Curtain? Conflict and Power and Conflict in Local Churches. And we really appreciate him sharing with us today. And that really is a topic not only for the churches, but power and conflict in the churches, but also within our own community, in the African American community. So we appreciate Bishop Minor. You can find that on Amazon. We're going to post it also on the Cleveland Clergy Coalition page. But I think, Dr. Jarvis, we have a caller. So let's take the caller. This is our 30 minutes of hot. We call it hot sauce, or is it no commercials? So we ask you to give us a call. You have a comment about what we've been discussing today, or any other comments you want to make. 216-578-1490. All right, Leo, we got a caller. Go ahead, caller, you're on the air.
Greeting. It must be Monday evening. What an amazing topic. I have two questions and a comment for your guests. My first comment, Bishop Minor, I wanted to know, what chapter of the book is your favorite chapter? And my second question, can this particular topic be a play that can move around from church to church? And my comment is, I am so excited about being with an intimate church. It makes all the difference in the world. And I'll stand by and hang up for your question. Have a great and grand evening.
Thank you. That's our own Lady Red. Thank you, Lady Red. And Bishop Minor is off the air. He had to go, Lady Red. But, I know if he's listening, he may be able to call back. I know he had something, another appointment he needed to get to. But I will tell you, those are great ideas. If he could turn that into a play, Lady Red is so full of great ideas. That's a great, great idea to be able to make a presentation in an art form that way that makes would hammer down that point. That's a great idea. Now, I don't know what would be his best favorite chapter, but I've got to take a peek at it, and it's really people. If you're in the people organizational business, this is a good book for that, because whenever you have people, one other person, and to add to it, you're going to have conflict, and you're going to have to deal with conflict resolution, and that's what we really need today. In these times in which we live, we need, we're having conflict right now in our society, and we need to make sure that we have some conflict resolutions. And one of the resolutions that we have through Sure House Baptist Church is the Cleveland and the Cleveland Clergy Coalition. We are providing solutions for some of these issues by providing jobs for folks. So we are still, I want people to know, we are still actively taking applications for manufacturing jobs, for jobs with First Energy, as well as other jobs in our community. And we want people to know, you to get in contact with us. If you need work, you know someone who's looking for work, a job will solve a lot of problems. We need economic relief in these days in which we live. We need to make sure that we have some resources. We need money. And so and the way to get money in our society is you need to have a job. So if you're looking for work, you can call the Cleveland Clergy Coalition at 216 333-1827, 216-333-1827, and you can make sure you get in contact with us. Our coordinator, Shante Lewis Gibson, will receive that call. We'll get back to you. We'll give you the application you need to fill out for the coalition, direct you to the manufacturing jobs that are available. And we also have a program at this moment in time that will pick you up to take you to your new job. So there is no excuse. We want to make it as easy as possible for folks. We know that there is, Bishop Meyer talked about this a few weeks ago, there is a deficit in transportation inequities of people getting to work from the urban areas to the suburban places. Buses don't run all the time. You can't get an Uber out there. So we're providing transportation for your new job. So please give us a call. Let us know that you need some, if you need some work, you don't have to. We are here for you. You can call the Cleveland Clergy Coalition hotline, 216-333-1827. Again, we have jobs with the manufacturing jobs, with First Energy jobs, and jobs all kind of, even with the Cleveland Clinic. We have places to opportunities to place people, and we're looking for people. Most of these jobs range from $15 an hour and up. So we're talking about a career, not just you having a job, but having a career that will transform you. So that's what we want to make sure people know about that, Dr. Jarvis, because there's no reason if folks are looking for work and there are jobs available, the coalition is here to put those two things together.
And not only that, the coalition not only find you an opportunity for a job, but community service too, because we have to be well-rounded. So we have the spiritual aspect, the employment aspect, and also community service, because in order for you to receive, you need to give some and give some of your time. So there's opportunities right with the Cleveland Clergy Coalition too.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. Well said. Well said. And I will tell you, Dr. Jarvis, I'm very concerned about our community coming together this election year, particularly that we need to make sure that in the African-American community, we are providing much information as possible to get people out to vote, to come together and unify. We can't afford to have these very minor conflicting things that people want to hold on to power in the community instead of coming together for the greater common good. And it's just like that is true in the churches. It's also true in our wider community, where we can really there's such a void of us not being able to work together. And we want to make sure that we can change that. And we change that by simply coming together. Really, it's not that difficult, but it's difficult to be done. But we got to work with different kind of personalities. And when you find out that we need to work together, you know, that we need to be humble and come together and look out for the greater interest, is always greater interest of others is always more important than the interest of us as individuals. And that's what we have to get away from. And boy, if there was ever a time for us to unify and really stick together, is right now in 2020, in this election year. Knowing, for example, you know, we know that Black Lives Matter, and Bishop Minor, we were just discussing that. And we always are concerned when a white police officer murders one of our young women or young men, and then they are not held accountable. And we have to work on that issue. And we have to make sure we have a police reform. We don't believe in defunding the police, but we know we need to reallocate resources, and we need police reform. We need to get rid of these chokeholds. And we need more community policing. We need to be recruiting more police officers who look like us to serve in our community. We need to do all those things. But also, and this is important, equally as important, we've got to make sure that we're not killing each other. We got these young men, and that's what we're talking about. Young African-American boy shoots and kills another African-American boy. That's two lives lost, because they're going to find that shooter. And then when they find that shooter, they're going to put that shooter in jail for the rest of his life. And the life was taken that the life that the shooter was taken is also the drug community. So we have to work on both of these things. It's not a matter of either or. It's a matter of both and. And we really need to come together and march. We should be equally marching about the violence that's happening in our community, especially this past weekend when we've seen multiple shootings and a few murders. And we can't do that. We have to be just as outraged about that as we were when that police officer shot and murdered Tamir Rice here in Cleveland.
Exactly.
So it is so very, very important that we are being about our father's business and getting that done. So that's very, very. I just wanted to mention that, Lady Red. And can you comment about that? I'm sorry, Dr. Jarvis. Lady Red is texting me. I wanted to just mention that, Dr. Jarvis. Dr. Jarvis.
Okay. Also, it's just like you just said, that we can't expect something of the police or the government if we don't take care of ourselves. And from the things that happened this weekend, not just in the greater Cleveland or Cuyahoga County, but throughout the nation, how we are killing each other. So how is it that we expect somebody to do something for us and we're not taking care of the business properly? We're not taking care of each other. We're not being our brother's keeper. Because nothing is that serious. Nothing is that serious. And then it affects your relationship with the maker. We said we want to have a relationship with him, but yet still we have to act like it. We have to prove it. And we're not doing it.
You're right about that. You're right about that. You're so right about that.
Oh, yeah. And it's frightening.
It is very frightening. Now, I will tell you, I am more concerned. I mean, we know that we have the attention. We had a caller. I know we have the attention of folks making sure that we're not, the white police and our police officers aren't murdering us in the streets anymore. We know we are going to be highlighting that issue. But boy, I really wish we would also highlight the issue of us shooting and killing each other. We got to stop that. We got to bring that to a close. And that's why one of the solutions that we have is to, one of the issues that we have is to make sure that we are providing a job for folks, because it's hard to be out there shooting and mayhem when you're tired from work. So that really makes it, you know what I'm saying? That really makes it, makes it difficult. We need to get these young men, get rid of that energy. Well, if you're working all day long, you know, an 8-10 hour job, you're not going to have time to be picking up a gun and shooting people. So that's what we need to solve this problem. And one way to solve this problem is by providing economic resources for folks. I'm expecting a caller, Leo. So let me know. We're expecting a special guest caller. Go ahead, Dr. Jarvis. Yeah.
You know what's interesting to me? Okay.
Oh, we got a caller. Hello?
Reverend Phillips, Dr. Gwen Jarvis, although jobs help, the type of person that is so evil and so weak in their appreciation for human life who would kill somebody as a matter of them having opportunity and free time to do so, a job would not stop that person from being evil. It would just give them ability to generate money for themselves, and they would, in their free time, at some point, they're going to do something stupid again. The reality of this is, as uncomfortable as it is to say, and as uncomfortable it is for people to do, is that you have to start telling on people. There's video cameras available through these phones and audios through these phones, and people know stuff. And if you get aggressive enough with the police that you do not want your name or face brought into it, it will tone down some. Because I'll say this in exit, on 139th and Harvard, in a 3-day period, on the same corner section, two people were killed on two different days over the weekend. I mean, not killed, but shot. 54-year-old woman shot in the hip, and an 8-year-old girl shot in the arm sitting in the back seat of a car. And it wasn't on the same day, but it was within 3 days of one another on 139th and Harvard. People know. We have to start telling on people. And if you need to tell before it jumps off, good. Tell before it jumps off, so maybe you prevented a murder or a shooting.
Well, we appreciate your call and your comment there, my brother. And I will tell you, what we're trying to do is provide economic resources to people to have alternatives so they don't even get caught up in something that they need to be caught up in. But there are multiple answers to that, multiple things that we need to work on. And certainly, when people have information about a particular crime, we do need to share that information with the police. And I support that 150%. I don't believe that we should be ever covering for murderers, killers, robbers in our community. If you know something, you need to say something. And that is absolutely a fact, Jack. So we appreciate that as well. So thank you so much for your call. We're looking for another caller. Leo, did we get our council president maybe calling in? Our council president is on. All right. We have the council president of the city of Cleveland, Kevin, Council President Kevin Kelly, my dear friend and brother. How you doing, Council President?
Hey, Pastor, I'm doing great. How are you doing?
We're doing just fine, and so glad you could take a moment out of your busy schedule. I know you all are meeting on a regular basis, go right ahead, President.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's really, these are just, the times we're living in right now are just so challenging on so many levels, and there's no easy answers. I listened to a few of the callers before, and with everything that's happening with the pandemic, the global pandemic we're in, the unrest that's happening over four centuries of racism are coming forth. But when I listened to the news this morning, and they were talking about the violence nationally, across the nation. And they talked about the city of Atlanta, and they highlighted the city of Atlanta, and where they have 27 shootings and 3 deaths. And I thought to myself, we're smaller than Atlanta, and we had 20 shootings and 3 deaths.
We
really have a problem to solve for. And it's really when we look at all of the changes that we've undergone, and we look at everything that's happened with the consent decree and how we do policing, and all the steps we've taken to build community trust, we just have to accelerate all of these things to find out how do we solve this problem. We just can't be killing one another and move forward as a community.
Oh, no, we cannot. No, we cannot.
Very violent weekend this weekend. It was just heartbreaking to get the news.
Yes. And the violence is breaking out in the African American community, and we need to be just as vigilant and diligent and marching about that as we were. I was just saying this as we were when we were upset when the white officer killed Tamir Rice. This is, Black lives matter, and the Black lives need to matter to Black people. And if we're not standing up and saying that, we are the ones that we're not doing justice to our own community. So I appreciate the previous caller. Some people, Todd is right. Some people are just evil, and we need to get rid of that. And we can focus and concentrate on those folks who are just evil. But we have a lot of people, a lot of young folks who are in the middle of that who don't have anything to do. They don't have, they need some resources for work or for school. We need to make sure we're providing that for those folks for those gaps as well. So really appreciate that. Now, Council President, what I got you on the line, can you tell us we're about this mask program we're hearing about everyone having to wear a mask? Can you tell us a little bit about that before we let you go?
Yes. Sure. So, Pastor, let me just kind of preface this by saying, as we all know, we're in the middle of this global health pandemic, but we are losing, and we are doing worse than most countries. And we are seeing an increase in cases. Now, we shouldn't celebrate the fact that deaths have stabilized, because generally, when the cases increase, the deaths come a few weeks later. So something had to happen. And the trigger point of – that was a terrible word. Please strike that. The event that we were waiting on before we took action was we were waiting for the governor's our weekly update on coronavirus. And during that briefing, it was made clear, because we were wondering if the state was going to do something. but it was very clear after that that he was going to punt this to the local counties and cities to do something about. And that's when the conversation started about, you know, we've got to do something to slow this. And that's when, you know, fast forward, that led to the mayor and the county executive coming together to put forward a mask requirement. Now, since that time, of course, everybody's minds immediately go to enforcement. And what I'll say about that is, first and foremost, this is more about compliance than enforcement. Nobody's looking to jam somebody up and get people caught up in a system where, you know, there's not going to be like this aggressive enforcement piece. We're really wanting people to recognize the severity of the problem and to comply.
Right.
So really just focusing on compliance over enforcement. This isn't a big government, you know, overreach type of thing. This is a public health crisis. And we don't even have the mayor, when he did his order, the way that the rules go with the authority of the civil proclamation, he can do this order, but only council can add the penalties. Okay, so we still have to consider all that, but I can just tell you that the goal is not to criminalize behavior, but we want people to really take this seriously. We want compliance, because as bad as this is going to be for, you know, restaurants or whomever, if things don't get better and we have to close down or, you know, take actions like that, it's going to be worse. So I would tell people not to be too anxious, don't get too worked up over the penalty phase, because, this is, again, nobody wants to be doing this. The mayor does not want to have issued this order, but he thought that was his only path forward. So.
Well, now will they be calls over the weekend, mm-hmm. Council President, from our pastors. So many pastors mm-hmm. are concerned. Is that true for churches? And is there an expectation when the preacher is preaching that he has to have his mask on while he's preaching? Because generally speaking, most of our churches are in Cleveland, but we know this is going to be even countywide.
Yeah. So right now, of course, there isn't enforcement. And on July 15th, we were going to finalize this. So right now it's kind of a warning. I mean, I shouldn't say this because it's more than that, but there may be warnings issued up until then. In churches, I believe, this is my take of it, that the congregation will have to have some sort of protective mask. No preacher is going to get a ticket or be cited for not wearing a mask. I can assure you of that. And we're going to come up with reasonable rules, and we're going to come up with reasonable exceptions and penalties when we meet on the 15th. And that's what we're going through right now. We're cranking this out right now. I mean, this is hard work, because this is there's all kinds of legal implications about what our authority is, who has the authority to do what. We want to come up with something that really isn't overly punitive, but yet we need to let, unfortunately, when you do these things, you have to have a penalty or else it doesn't exist. But and I would just, bring you back to your law days. The concept of reasonableness, if people act reasonable, I guarantee they'll be okay.
Right. Well, many of our churches, and I'm one of them, we started coming back, but we have capacity about 25% of where we were before. We practice social mm-hmm. distancing, and we are asking people to politely wear a mask, and we take their temperature. Some of our pastors came up with a policy that we're following. So we take folks' temperatures, we write it down, we keep up with that, mm-hmm. and our churches will provide a mask if a person doesn't have one. But still, even in that, Council President, even in our church, some people still don't want to wear a mask. And it's one of the conflicts that we have to deal with, because we have people in our congregation who have them on, and then there's those who don't, and then they get upset. So that's something that we are dealing with right now. But we are really encouraging people to wear a mask.
And actually, just encourage people to be reasonable, to understand that it's not just their health that we're wanting them to protect. It's the health of the person that's next to them. It's their fellow worshiper that they need to take this action for.
I can't understand how.
Love.
Okay. Yeah, and I, this is Gwen Jarvis. I cannot understand how people can't do that. It's to love your neighbor, look out for your neighbor. It's to wear a mask. It's not asking you to wear it 24 hours, 7 days a week. I don't like wearing them, but I'm going to do it because it is to look out for the next person.
To
I just
love
cannot
your neighbor,
understand. Exactly. And then, so how is council, is all of council in support of the mask mandate?
Everybody I've spoken to thus far, because the mayor did have the authority to do it on his own. Everybody I've spoken to thus far is in support of the mask mandate. Everybody's a little bit nervous about the enforcement piece, and that's why I'm just trying to ensure people this isn't going to be a punitive thing. This is going to be a, you know, something where we just encourage people to think about, you know, their neighbors and people next to them. Think about other people's health. This is a community health problem. This isn't a, you know, individual's health problem.
So,
well, we appreciate that. Thank you so much for calling in and being a part of our broadcast today. We're getting ready to close up, but we appreciate that. Council President, we'll be looking to hear from you in the near future.
Great. Appreciate everything you do, and God bless. We'll be in touch.
All right. Yes. Thank you. God bless you. All right. Dr. Jarvis, I think we may have another caller. Leo, we have another caller? Okay. I don't want to get that other call. Go ahead. Let's bring that other caller in. Go ahead, Leo.
Caller, you're on the air. How you doing? This is Demetrius calling in from Cleveland.
Demetrius.
How y'all doing? And Dr. Jarvis. That's good. I just want to make a comment concerning the enforcement for the mask. I just hope whatever penalty they have be enforced equally, because in New York they have the same penalty that most of the African-Americans were getting fined, you know, for not wearing a mask. So I make sure that if there is a fine, it be enforced equally, not just on black people.
That's interesting.
Very good point. You know, we'll be monitoring that, and we'll be watching that, Demetrius. And if you hear something, you give us a call, let us know. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. Yeah, because there's other. Yeah.
Thank you for calling, Demetrius. God bless your heart. All right. Dr. Jarvis, we got to wrap this up. It's already been in 90 minutes. I can't believe it. It goes by so fast. We really appreciate our guest today, Bishop Tony Miner, and his book, What's Behind the Curtain. We want to make sure folks get that conflict in local churches. But it also not applies just to churches, but to conflict period in our community. So you want to pick that up. And thank God for our council president, President Kevin Kelly. We just love him. He's just a great supporter of our community. And thank him for calling in and giving us some highlights about the mask issue, as well as we got to do something about this violence, Dr. Jarvis. That is just ridiculous.
Oh my goodness.
We should not be in the same numbers of Atlanta. And we've got to, you know, I think that's our next thing we got to start working on, Dr. Jarvis, what we're going to do to solve this violent issue in our community. So, Dr. Jarvis, do you have any parting words before we get ready to go?
Well, for us to be safe, to wear a mask is not a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week thing, but to look out for your neighbor and to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Wear a mask, be in social distancing. And we'll be back next week, the Cleveland Clergy Coalition at News Talk Cleveland, 1490 AM on the dial at 5 PM every Monday. The host is Pastor Aaron Phillips of the Sure House Baptist Church and Executive Director of the Cleveland Clergy Coalition, and co-host Dr. Gwen Jarvis. Have a safe...
Love you, Cleveland. God bless you. Have a great week.
Fighting unseen enemies like never before.